Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. We're live here today. I was thinking about communication coming into the studio a bit and how good communication is a foundation for a happy marriage. It's a foundation for a happy relationship with anybody in the workplace, with your kids, with your spouse, with your boss, with your neighbors. Good communication. Understand how to be a good communicator. The fact is, when we miscommunicate, it can lead to tragedy in relationships. Miscommunication puts a wedge between people. Miscommunication can kill. I was looking at the news just a couple nights ago. Two airplanes, one about to take off and one landing almost right on top of it. You see it on the news? Obviously, miscommunication. Somebody missed communicate what needed to be said. And so it can be everything from deadly to certainly frustrating in relationships. Let's bring it home. Let's bring communication home. Here's the question. What do you do when you have to communicate some difficult things with your spouse in marriage? What do you do when you need to be able to talk about the finances, and yet you don't want to talk about it and they don't want to talk about it? But it's got to be talked about, because like it or not, it's coming at you. Maybe it's a need to communicate about the kids or an ex-spouse or about a relationship or any number of things that can be difficult to talk about in a marriage. We talk about intentional living. If we're not intentional when we communicate, if we're not intentional in how we communicate, we can damage our relationship. And so I tell you what I'd like to do, guys. Let's open the phone line here very quickly and invite people to call and share with us all around the country, all of our intentional living friends, one thing that's helped you. Come on now, really practical. One thing that's helped you when you need to communicate something that's difficult to talk about, but needs to be talked about in marriage. What's one thing that's helped you? Is it the time of day, the structure of the words, the setup? What is it? I don't know. Give me a call. We got people listening because they need to communicate and they're looking for some counsel and some help. Let's do it. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. And Stephen will get your call live here today and we'll get you on the air. Jennifer will make sure that happens. And welcome to all our Facebook friends. Gino, thank you for putting this on Facebook Live here today. Glad to be with you. Thank you for joining us. You can post your comment there, or you can call again, 888-888-1717. How do you communicate difficult stuff, uncomfortable topics? All right, Greg, first from Arizona. Go right ahead, my friend.
Yes, I think it's after prayerful consideration, giving it some thought and time, having the courage to bring up those subjects that are just uncomfortable or that we don't want to. I think that's really key, an indicator when you dodge an issue that you need to deal with it.
Is that something you do in your marriage?
Yeah, I do.
And has it helped? Has it been a positive thing for you guys?
Oh, for sure. 100%. Yes, sir. It has been. It's been beautiful, because what I do, I learn to shut up, go to God, pray, give it some time, which allows me to be gentle and yet forthright and hear her point first and then be able to talk about my point, which is something that's needed, that I'm dodging.
Yeah, that's what we do. We dodge it. Jennifer, you guys, how do you do in communication? Topics sometimes when they're tough, are you guys pretty open?
We're getting there.
Dodgy or what?
I'm the one who wants to air things out and get it fixed right away.
Yeah.
My husband, on the other hand, and sorry for calling you out, babe, but...
But since you're not here.
Exactly. he tends to go on the defensive.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like to talk.
That's a man thing, by the way, but keep going.
So we kind of... I've had to learn to kind of compromise the way I approach things, because it ended up a lot, I noticed, as an argument, because he did go on the defensive. He just immediately thought I was attacking him, even though I wasn't necessarily. So I think it took me a little time to understand how he works and approach it in a different manner. And then also with kid gloves, if you will.
Cookies. Piece of pie.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
Back rub. But it's now we can talk about the tough stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot better now, but it did take some time, because we are complete opposites in that manner.
Well, I think each of us, when it comes to communication, we have our own style. We got some people, come on now, you're just right up front. Let's get it on the table. Let's deal with it. not easily offended. And others of us are more touchy and we're more aware, and the defenses can go up, especially when you hear things like you or always or never, you know, those kinds of words that can really set off a problem in this communication thing. That's good. All right. We got to get your husband in here to defend himself, by the way, or get him on the phone. All right, Megan in Arizona, you're next. What have you learned about communicating in marriage?
My aunt told me when you're having a difficult upset, blame, shame, anxiety, worry, anger, if you allow them to be prominent, they're not going to do anything positive for you. But prayer does everything. Mm. And so this last season, my husband and I, we have lost so many people. Between January and February, we lost 7 family members, including both sets of our parents and one of our adopted children.
Oh.
It was so hard, and we clung to each other to get through it, which I'm so grateful that God reminded us that we've got each other to lift each other up, right?
That's right.
But I've noticed both of us were kind of testy with the kids. We've got a full house and we're both just on edge. We're not ourselves. We're not who, you know, we would have been before this past year. And in that moment, when I hear, for example, my husband, you know, getting testy with one of my kiddos, in that moment, I can go really defensive and really angry, and I could start yelling, or I could just take a moment and pray and ask God just for a little bit of peace. So this past weekend, we had one of those moments where my husband and one of my teenagers are just kind of testy with each other and not really reflecting the love that we really do have for each other, right, in the way that they were communicating. And so I said, you know what, hold on. It's so much easier for me to communicate when we've got something in common. So what can you guys do to spend more time to reconnect? So this weekend they're going to go out to lunch, and I think the teenager is going to teach dad how to play Fortnite, which is going to be kind of funny. But just to remember, like, we love each other.
That's right.
You know, we are a gift to each other. We are here to lift each other up and support each other. And God's got us. But sometimes those negative emotions, and when we let them be front and center, they take away who we are to each other.
Amen. What a story. Listen, when did this all occur? 7 family members lost during what period of time, Megan?
Between January 9th and February 4th.
1 month.
It was
both sets of parents.
Heavy. Yeah.
Plus others, including
sets of parents.
And one of your children?
Yeah, we have some foster kiddos that we, one of which we had adopted, and we lost him, and then both sets of our parents, and then an uncle on both of our sides. Oh. It was, you know what, but God's grace is in that too.
Amen. When we hear these kind of stories from others, these kind of losses, this hurt, this is what blows families up. This is what blows marriages up. And so you guys, the fact that that you've held this together, you're clinging to each other, as you've said, and listen, you guys are going through a grief period. You're going to have these, as you know, these are just part of the human condition that we have during loss, and cutting yourself some slack and grace, as you say, focusing on the positive and being proactive, or we call intentional. That's really what proactive is, doing the next right run thing in your marriage. You have been very intentional in your marriage, in your relationship through this loss, where I have talked with and counseled with people who go through these kinds of things, and instead of fighting for their marriage, they fight in their marriage and lose their marriage and their family. And so God bless you for being intentional in honoring God, bringing Him glory, and certainly benefit to yourself in the process.
We have a really wonderful marriage, and I'm very, very grateful for it. But I'll tell you, we've never been closer than walking through this season together. It's been hard. That didn't come with no difficulty.
No, that's right.
But you know, we're getting there, and it's amazing. I'm really grateful for it. Even through all the hurt, right? God wants us to see Him and reach out to Him, and I'm just grateful.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet is to protect what? Our heads. And in one of the versions, it says to continue to have clear thinking. As we communicate how you can experience hope, and that's what we're doing every day, here's the point. We need to help people guard their thinking.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. It's on the topic of how to actually experience the hope that we talk about on the radio and people sing about constantly, and in bringing you hope and experiencing hope and bringing scripture and reminders of God's hope. And yet at the end of the day, some of you are still feeling hopeless, still struggling. You have ups and downs, right? We all do. Good days, bad days. And the Bible is not silent. In fact, it speaks clearly about things we can do to actually experience that hope, be reminded of that hope in our thinking, our behavior, our attitude, and so on. And that was the purpose of the two lessons, the two-part series on experiencing hope that we send out as our master class to our members, those who are part of the Intentional Living community. Thank you for your prayers, your support. Thank you for standing with us. We love you. Thank you. Makes a difference. If you join us today, your monthly support for Intentional Living helps us reach people with the gospel, reach people to come to Christ, families to be strengthened, home to be encouraged. And I thank you for your support. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, click on that little donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours to talk to one of our staff, real person, not AI. They're not artificial intelligence. They're real intelligence, all right? 888-888-1717, press number 2. Press number 1 if you want to talk to me today. And thank you for your support. We appreciate it. We've been running a little bit behind. I looked at the report. We're a little bit behind where we need to be in this end of the summer time. And I just say thanks in advance to some of you who could step up, help us here in this month of August to finish summer strong. All you have to do again is go to theintentionallife.com. We appreciate it.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling because I just heard Randy talking about communication. It was interesting to hear his story about the lazy boy, and made me kind of laugh because it's something that I've had to learn in our marriage, just that men look at things differently than women sometimes, and, you know, my husband will do the same thing, and I've had to learn, instead of getting all hung up on thinking that he's criticizing me, because he'll even tell me, I'm not trying to criticize you, I'm trying to help, to realize that and see that he is trying to, in fact, help me in doing what we're going to be doing together. Yeah, so that's been quite a journey, just to learn how somebody says something and what they're meaning when they say it, and try to be on the same page. I think it's very important. My name's Kathy, and thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Kathy. It is a reminder, though, to the men today, let's not quite try to be quite so helpful sometimes. I'm just trying to help. Donna, I'm just trying to help. I have this great idea how you could organize that kitchen better. Hello. That got me in trouble, Jennifer. That got me in trouble.
I bet. You don't mess with a woman's kitchen.
I'm saying that. She was taking the stuff out of the dishwasher, and she put the dishes over here on this side of the microwave, and she put the cups over. I'm thinking, you know, if you put them both on the same side, you'd save at least 5 steps.
Most likely, she
shut
has
up, Randy.
A system.
The problem is, I tried to offer that suggestion, and she didn't appreciate that all that much. All right, okay, we're talking about communication. Sometimes it really matters. Bigger deal than where you put the cups in the cupboard, right? You got some kids you're concerned about. You got how maybe a blended family. You got some issues that need to be communicated with, and there's walking on eggshells going on in the marriage, and that creates further tension and difficulty in the relationship. And the phone line's open to invite you to share. What one thing have you learned that helps you to communicate when things need to be talked about? What one thing has helped you? 888-888-1717. Julianne, hi there.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Fantastic. What have you
learned?
One
thing that I've learned is before I need to have a conversation that I know is going to be difficult, which is most conversations for me because I'm very non-confrontational, but I've learned to pray about it before I do it. And I ask the Lord to go before me and kind of soften their heart and help me communicate what I actually mean and let them hear what I mean and not necessarily what I say. Because I've found sometimes the way I communicate, I might not say exactly what I mean, but I know the Lord can help that person understand what I need to say. Mm-hmm. And that really has worked for me and really changed relationships in my life because I found that, you know, when my husband and I had to communicate things with each other, a lot of times we would just get defensive before the other person could even hear what we were trying to say. And prayer has really helped that situation.
Yeah. Once the defenses go up, it's over. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because then what happens is we've taken a position where we feel offended. We take a position. Once we take a position, we have to defend it. And then, well, you know, then it gets shoved under the rug, doesn't get talked about, creates more tension in the marriage. Has it helped doing what you're doing, how you're doing it?
Yes, sir. Very much so. And I think it also helps me, too. It helps me calm before I need to talk and just really give it to the Lord and let Him assist me in my communication.
Yeah, it makes a difference when you do that. It's powerful. Well, good for you. Starting with prayer and then hoping everybody's heart gets softened in the process.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for your call today. From New Mexico. What part of New Mexico? Are you in Albuquerque?
I used to live in Albuquerque. I'm in Los Alamos now.
Oh, beautiful place. Nice and cool probably today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, right. It is. It's great.
Enjoy it. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've been getting the rain here, Jennifer. It's finally shown up and a little bit cooler, right?
Yes,
and
especially in the morning
hours. That's been nice.
One thing, I don't mean to butt in, Dr. Randy, but what are some ideas, you know, what are things that we can do, you know, like in my marriage, we're kind of opposites.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of things, like how is a good way to approach a discussion?
One of the most powerful things we can do in a discussion with someone is to ask for permission to share. Because what happens is when we approach and just say, hey, I need to share something with you or whatever, it's immediately there's a defense. But when you go to a person and you say, I got something on my heart. Can I have permission to share it with you? Is it something, are you okay if I share something with you? Typically, they'll say, yes, go ahead. What is it? They've given you permission. I know that sounds weird, but even that little bit of having permission allows you to step into the room at least gently and be able to share. And then I think keeping the word you out of the conversation, you know, when you do this or you this or that, it's more, this is my experience. I've just noticed when we're together that I'm experiencing this when certain things occur. Can you give me some feedback on that or what does that mean? Or am I misreading that? In other words, you're allowing the other person to process the concern without being accused. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Because I guess if you say the word you, you're automatically pointing the finger.
Oh, yeah.
And the other way, you're just voicing your concern. So
exactly.
that makes a lot of sense.
And you're taking ownership for the fact that this is my experience. I may be misreading it. It may be something I'm missing, but this is what I'm experiencing when this happens or when I hear these words or when we don't talk or like maybe we're avoiding something. Can you give me some feedback on that? Or am I missing something? Or how do you think we could do this better?
Well, that can help me because I'm definitely guilty of that.
Yeah.
Saying the you and you mentioned the other word always.
Always and never. Because I'll tell you what happens with the always never stuff. I've seen this.
You got, come on, all the firstborns out there, whenever they're told, you never listen to me, the guy's thinking, that's not true. I listened to you last Thursday. Right? Come on. This communication thing can be difficult. All right, we're talking about the power of communication when things have to be talked about that are not easy to talk about. You can join us, 888-888-1717 is the number. Love to have you join us and tell us one thing that's helped you to talk about the difficult stuff in life for God's glory, benefit to your marriage, your family. Mary, hang on. We'll get to you there in Texas in just a moment.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
I think that what could lead to a very successful marriage is having a sense of humor. Especially with your husband, who may just be joking around or trying to be funny, and maybe you're a little uptight, but just indulge him. Let him think he's funny. Don't take life so seriously. Also, another thing I think is really, really important, and something that I do, try to do every single day, is find something to praise your spouse, because you will eventually find that you're not the only one doing the praising. It's reciprocal. Many times it is. So I would say praise and have a sense of humor.
Let him think he's funny. You know what my wife does? I do stupid stuff sometimes, you know, say things and joke around. And she looks at me and says, you are so corny. So corny. But I think she really likes it. Donna, I think you really do like it. I don't know. All right, talking about the communication in marriage, let's go to Mary in Texas. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I listen to you all the time. I love this show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, so here's the deal. Like, we've been married almost 50 years, mm-hmm. and we could not be more different. Like, he's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. He's impulsive. I mean, I'm impulsive and he's a thinker. And so I'm embarrassed that it's taken this long to figure it out. But if I start a discussion with what we're doing right and, or what I think, you know, like if it's a discussion about money, then I'll say something about, you know, we did good about keeping the amount in the savings account that we said we would or whatever. And then I'll talk to him about what I have on my mind. But he's the kind of guy that has to think about it. And for a long time, I used to, you know, blurt out everything and then say, what do you think? And whatever he said would make me mad. You know, I would be like, oh. But I learned that if I said, don't say anything, just think about it, then and come back and talk to me about it tomorrow or let me know when you're ready to talk about it, then it went a whole lot better.
Mm. Now, how many years did that take you? All 50?
Well, maybe 30. and the worst part about it is I'm a counselor by profession. So you would think that I would know how to communicate better than most. But it's different when it's just, you know, when it's you and your family and not your clients.
Yeah. Yeah, hello.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I understand that. I get that. Listen, Mary,
so anyway,
your husband is what I call in my conference. I talk about a head person. He's a head person, bottom line, analytical, introverted, wants to think it through. And you're more of a heart person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And impulsive and extroverted. Yes.
And so you got an introvert and an extrovert and you're wise. And as you know, in your counseling, connecting with the other person is you got to get into their world and get behind their eyes. And so what you're doing is you're figuring out for my husband, he's got to go process this thing for a while.
And you probably get a better answer after he processes it than if you expect him to answer you right away.
It's amazing. Like, almost always he would say no to whatever it was that I wanted an immediate answer for.
Yeah.
But if I ask him to think about it, then a lot of times it's yes. And you know what else has happened that I realized? That if I have time to think about it, a lot of times I change my mind about whatever it was I thought. So I've changed my mind too. And I think he's learned that if he gives me time to think about whatever impulsive thought I had, then I may change my mind and he won't have to say one way or the other.
Well, hey, listen, what does the Bible say? The Bible says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. And as I've always said,
and we talk about,
no, go ahead.
We talk about how three strands are not easily broken as well.
That's right.
You know, and braid God into everything that we do in our marriage. And so, and really and truly, I'm embarrassed that it took 35 years. And really and truly, we've just gotten good at it. We didn't start out good at it, but I just thought, you know, every time I demand an answer or I have this great idea, like, you know, we're gonna put 50% of our money in this account because we're gonna save up for this or for that, and you know, that's it. And that never worked ever.
Just imagine. Just imagine, yeah. Mary, if you both were thinkers, you'd be thinking yourself into oblivion and you never get anything done. If you're both big heart people, let's get it done and impulsive. I don't know. You'd be in bankruptcy. I don't know where you'd be. I think you know what I mean, Barry. That's why the whole thing of balancing each other. I always tell people, you know, the opposites really do attract. But when we have similarities in our values and beliefs and what we're doing, that really pulls us together. The good news is it sounds like you do. All right. Thanks, Barry. Got to wrap it up today. I'll tell you what, though. We're going to be back again tomorrow. Right here, and we're going to continue this discussion. And to do that, we're going to open the phone lines, reopen it right now. And I'd love to have you call. How do you communicate? What one thing helps you? Is it the timing? Is it how you approach? Is it do you stuff it? What is it? I don't know. When you have some of those difficult topics that need to be talked about, kids, money, in-laws, whatever. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you right now at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. For our friends on Facebook, I hope you take time to post your thoughts. We love hearing this. And also share with others about intentional living. And thanks to our members in our intentional living community for your prayers and support. I'm Dr. Randy for the entire team. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.